Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's time to turn off the lights and turn on the dark.
Chilling tales for dark nights.
Good evening, listener. You're listening to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights. On tonight's edition, we invite you to leave behind your safe reality and descend with us into the frightening depths of the most terrifying imaginations with an audio adaptation of frightening fiction about surprising scenarios. I'm your host, Paul J. McSorley, and tonight and every other Wednesday night, I'll be your guide as we traverse the dimly lit corridors of your darkest dreams. Joining us tonight to help bring to life the frightening fiction of Kisto Healy is none other than your host of the evening, Paul J. McSorley. Now get your ticket ready, take your seat in our theater of the minds, and brace yourself. It's time to turn off the lights and turn on the dark. Our tale this evening is written by Kisto Healy and performed by Paul J. McSorley. In it, we meet a man awakening in a strange new environment. Join us as we learn about his new location, the people residing there with him, and what, if anything, he needs to do to get out. Now, without further ado, I present to you The Soap Man. Braden woke with a pounding headache. He didn't know where he was, how he got there, or why he was there. He groaned and squinted his eyes to try to see through the surrounding darkness. "Hello?" he called nervously. From his right, a voice nonchalantly said back, "Hello?" From his left, Braden heard a grunt. "Who's there?" he called into the dark. He turned nervously in both directions, straining to see. He could make out blurry forms in the distance, but couldn't discern any details. "Where are we?" he asked. "What am I doing here?"
"We call it the Stuffing Center," the grunter from the right said in a hoarse voice.
The voice from the left interjected before Braden could say anything.
"You call it the Stuffing Center? I prefer Foodatorium."
"None of this makes sense," Braden said. "What are you talking about?"
"It's not all bad. We get to eat a lot of yummy stuff," the voice said again.
Then the grunter chimed in.
"You're an idiot. It's terrible. The food is terrible. This is hell."
"Please stop arguing, and one of you help me figure out what is going on," Braden said. He tried to stand and felt dizzy.
"I'm scared."
"You're not scared. You're dead," said the grunter. "Better to just accept your fate."
"What?"
cried Braden. What's happening?
Don't listen to Elwood, said the other voice. He's a grump with a sophisticated palate. My name is Mort, and I happen to love pizza and ice cream.
Like I said, idiot, Elwood grumbled. See how happy he is when the soap man comes to take him. Guarantee he won't be cheering for garbage food when he's being picked apart like those heathens who order pizza and don't want the cheese.
The soap man?
Braden asked. He stumbled forward and realized his ankles were shackled. The chains pulled with a rattle.
I was coming out of the all-you-can-eat buffet by my job. My phone rang. I answered it, and that's the last thing I remember.
And let me guess, said Elwood. You were eating by yourself.
Well, yes, but it was because my wife was out of town and I didn't feel like cooking just for myself. Buffets have variety. It's quick and easy.
You don't have to defend yourself to us, Mort told him. I was enjoying lunch at Taco Taco, and Grumpy over there was at some Italian place. It was a terrible last meal before a life of trash food in this cesspit, and I won't even get to write my review on it to warn other people that actually have taste and want a quality meal, Elwood said.
So, someone kidnapped us? Braden asked.
Who? What does he want?
My wife. Colleen. She'll be looking for me.
We all have families, Elwood answered.
Well, I don't, Mort chimed in. I mean, I have my mom, but I don't think that's the same. Anyway, yeah, the soap man nabbed us. There were others, but they've already been taken.
Taken? Taken where?
There was a moment of quiet.
Oh, sorry, I was pointing. I forgot you couldn't see me in the dark. It won't always be dark. The soap man will turn the lights on in the morning.
I told you he's an idiot. There's a door. It's straight ahead of you, but you can't reach it with the shackles. That's where the soap man comes and goes. You'll meet him before long. He'll show up with a new batch of disgusting filth we're supposed to pretend is food.
Braden sank back to the floor.
I don't understand. I don't understand any of this. I'm not worth ransom. We live paycheck to paycheck.
Elwood laughed, but there was no humor in it. He doesn't want money from us. Or, well, I guess he does, just not in the way you think. He'll get what he wants from us. Don't you worry about that.
And what is that? Braden asked. What does he want from us?
He wants back what he gives us. And trust me, he'll take it. There's no fighting. There's no escaping. It's like I told you when you woke up. You're as good as dead.
But why?
Braden moaned.
What did I ever do to this person? Why does he want me?
You didn't do anything, Mort said. None of us did. He just saw that we were alone and could be grabbed, and he grabbed us. That's really all there is to it. Well, that, and he knows we can eat, Elwood said. He wants us to accumulate as much body fat as possible. That's what this is all about.
Body fat? I think I've already got plenty of that,
Braden said, looking down at himself and feeling his belly.
I've been meaning to exercise, but it's so hard to find the time.
You don't have nearly the fat he wants, Mort told him. You'll be here for a while to pack on all you can. Braden had tears in his eyes.
I don't understand.
Because you're overthinking it, Elwood told him. It's just business. That's all it is. The son of a bitch feeds us until we're 90% body fat and then he sucks it all out and we die.
Jeez, why?
Because fat makes good soap, apparently. We're not people to that bastard. We're just ingredients for his product label. Mort chimed in.
Think of it as a combination of Hansel and Gretel and Fight Club.
Braden's eyes widened even though it was dark and he gave a shocked look in the direction of Mort's voice.
This is insane. How can you sound so okay with this?
Oh, I'm not okay with it. I've just accepted it. At least the food is good. I try to look at the bright side of things. It's just who I am.
An idiot, said Elwood. I told you he's an idiot.
How long have you been here?
Braden asked in a panic.
How do you know that's what he does when he takes people if no one ever comes back?
What makes you think they never come back? Elwood said with a huff. They always come back. He sucks the fat out and makes us eat the leftovers.
Braden felt like he was going to vomit just hearing that. He hoped to God it wasn't true and said a silent prayer just in case the man upstairs was listening.
I can't be here, he said. I can't be a part of this. I have to get out of here. I have to.
Yeah, good luck with that, said Elwood. Let me know how it goes. You're a damn idiot too. I'm in a cell eating trash food, waiting for my death, surrounded by idiots.
You can't escape, Mort said. We've all tried. It never ends well. He gets really mad if anyone messes with his business. You don't want to be on the wrong end of that. Trust me.
First smart thing you've said in forever, Elwood told him. Mort said then,
Oh, and when he brings the food, make sure you eat it. Every bit of it. He's got cameras. If you don't eat it, he'll punish you. His punishments are severe. I have the scars to prove it.
I don't know if I can, Braden said worriedly. I'm not feeling very hungry. I feel sick, honestly. What happens if you throw up?
Don't throw up, Elwood said. If you feel like you're going to swallow it, trust what I tell you.
I just don't know if I can. My stomach is doing flips. I'm so anxious and upset. I can never eat when I feel like that.
Learn how.
What if I can't?
Then you're screwed.
He must have drugged me, right? He must have given me something to abduct me and get me here. I don't remember any of it. I just remember answering the phone and waking up here.
So
the chemicals could be messing with my stomach too. He's got to understand that, right? I'll tell him.
He's really not a very understanding guy, Mort said then. You're not gonna have good luck reasoning with him. Just eat the food and enjoy what time you have left.
Enjoy? Enjoy? I have a wife. A wife that is alone and has no idea what happened to me. I will not enjoy any part of this. This is a nightmare.
Do I need to say it? Elwood asked.
No.
Just then the room flooded with light.
It's time, Mort said, sounding nervous for the first time. Just stay quiet. Do as you're told. Take the food. Please.
The sudden change in lighting was jarring to Braden. The glaring lights were as blinding as the darkness, if not more so. He felt an immediate headache, like someone had jabbed a needle into his temple. He squinted through the pain and turned to view the men he was sharing space with for the first time. He gasped and immediately felt bad because he sensed it was probably offensive. It just caught him off guard. Mort was lying on his side,
Braden felt bad thinking it, but the man didn't even look human. The rolls of him dripped out in every direction like fleshy pudding, and buried beneath them were what looked like a baby's sausage legs. He looked to be suffering. The layers upon layers of him were slick with sweat and so glossed over he looked glazed, and his mouth stayed open, swollen tongue poking out. He looked to be struggling to breathe. Braden's fear for himself suddenly took a back seat to sympathy for this man. He was even more amazed by Mort's positive attitude now that he laid eyes on him. The soap man, as they called him, was feeding him to death. It turned Braden's stomach and made him want to cry at the same time.
"Don't stare too hard," Elwood said. "You'll look just like him by the time it's all said and done."
Braden gasped again and quietly cursed himself. The last thing he wanted to do was fat shame someone, but it was hard not to react. The man's organs had to be failing. He couldn't seem to get air, and it was something done to him, something he was forced to become. It made sense to be horrified, didn't it?
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube?
Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Braden stole a glance at Elwood, embarrassingly enough because he didn't want to look at Mort anymore. The other man was big, but still not half the size Mort was, or at least not yet. He was just as nude and sweaty, though. In the light, Braden felt suddenly self-conscious as he became aware of his own nudity. He closed his legs tightly and sat on the ground. He could see the door now. For some reason, when they were talking about it, Braden had imagined something sinister. A steel door with a porthole window or a sliding door with an eye scanner or something. But what he saw in reality was just a door. It was like any door he had ever seen, and for some reason that made it more frightening. The things of your nightmares should never be something normal. How could a killer come through an ordinary door and give you something as normal as everyday food to kill you? Braden had imagined the soap man as some kind of monster. A huge, menacing man with a slaughterhouse apron and some kind of mask or goggles. But what if he was just a normal, ordinary person like everyone Braden had ever passed in the street or seen in a store? He felt a sudden chill like icy fingertips trace their way over his spine, making him shake and twitch as he stared towards the ordinary door with a new sense of horror and growing fear. His mouth felt dry and his heart was racing. The door came open and Braden instinctively jumped backwards. To his right, Elwood chuckled cynically. Braden felt someone enter the room before he saw them. It was him. He was there. Slowly, he turned his head to look. Before him stood a handsome middle-aged man with a winning smile and a burgundy cardigan. He waved hello to them and then turned and dragged a cart into the room. It was covered in pizza boxes and 2-liter soda bottles. He unloaded it all in the center of the room. "Welcome," he said to Braden, his voice smooth and soothing. "I imagine the others have filled you in on what's happening here and what's going to happen." Braden just stared at him, at the salt and pepper hair above his ears and the crinkles by his eyes. He wanted to speak, but couldn't find his voice, so he just nodded. "Good," the man said, flashing a smile that could sell cars. "So, when I leave, you go on and eat up. Get comfortable. This is your home now."
I have a wife," Braden stammered.
The man smiled again. "Not anymore, sorry." He turned to look at Mort. "Today's your day, Mortimer. You're far enough along." Mort looked up at him. Braden saw the sadness in his eyes.
"Can I just have the pizza and Coke first?" he asked. "Like a final meal?"
"I'm afraid not," the man said with a sigh. "I need those to get the other fellas to where you are. It takes a lot of food and money to get you folks ready to use.
Sometimes I wonder if it's worth it. But I'm not ready to die, Mort moaned.
No one ever is, the soap man told him.
But we all have to sooner or later.
Just know that you will stop being something disgusting and you will become something beautiful.
You will smell delicious. You will be vibrant and full of color. You will wash the filth and grime off of somebody's dirty body. You will be a necessity. Something someone thinks about all day and aches to get home to. You will be art.
Gonna screw for you to call him disgusting when he is what you made him, Elwood barked, punctuating it with a dirty look.
The soap man turned his smile in Elwood's direction.
It's not the fat that makes him disgusting, Elwood. It's the humanity.
Fat is beautiful. It's moldable, sculptable, accepting, and versatile.
Humans are the filth that needs to be cleaned, the grime of the world, spreading hate and disease. Old Mort was disgusting when I brought him here, just like you were, and our new boy Braden is. You're all putrid, until I turn you into something better.
Something better, Elwood scoffed. A bar of damn soap.
That's right, the soap man said, his smile falling away instantly to be replaced by twitching anger and intense hatred staring through blazing brown eyes.
Soap cleanses just like I do. Now eat.
The soap man pushed the food cart back out of the room. A moment later, the door reopened and he came back with a large leather harness. All Braden could do was watch as the man strapped the harness onto Mort's big form, chunks of him squeezing out over the straps.
Maybe just a drink of the soda? Mort asked in a voice that sounded more like a pleading child.
The soap man just huffed. He turned and looked at the others, staring daggers of fire as he threw the thick strap over his shoulder and began dragging Mort's huge form out of the room. Mort could do nothing but look at Braden, his optimism and happiness finally gone, tears dripping down his face as his sweat-soaked body slid across the floor, leaving streaks of residue like a slug.
It's not so bad,
he said as he was pulled through the door, but Braden felt like he was saying it more for himself.
Idiot, Elwood grumbled.
Braden flashed an angry glare at him.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Elwood shrugged his big hairy shoulders. He grunted.
Give it a few weeks and see if you don't end up jaded. This is it. This is all there is. All there will be until we end up like him. Forgive me if I'm not feeling a load of compassion.
Braden shook his head. He lunged forward, taking the chains as far as they would go, getting jerked backward. The door was shutting, but he felt the need to see, to view what was happening to Mort. He fought again to get as far forward as possible to see through the gap in the closing door. On the other side was a white-tiled floor, a steel ramp leading up to an operating table, and a machine with something akin to a vacuum hose beside it. Braden saw the soap man straining to drag Mort's enormous, almost liquid form up the ramp onto the table. The door slammed shut and cut off the view. The sudden bang of the closing door made Braden jump and cry out. He was shaking. He looked over at Elwood with tears streaming down his cheeks.
This can't happen. We have to do something. What is he going to do to him? This isn't right. It's horrible.
Elwood remained silent. When Braden turned to glare at him, he saw the man had started on the pizza, washing it down with gulps of soda. His eyes grew large, shocked at the sight.
How in hell can you eat right now?
Have to.
Braden shook his head.
Oh, I can't. No way. I feel like I'm going to vomit.
Don't. We told you. And you need to eat, or you'll find out the hard way why it's better than not eating, and you'll eat the next meal, but it will be a lot more painful and hard to stomach.
And what if we are going to be sick? What if we have to go to the bathroom? What do we do? How do we keep from getting sick and dying here before we're ready for his sick experiments? Elwood held a finger up while he chewed and swallowed the pizza in his mouth. He took a drink of soda and then said,
"There's holes against the back wall. All business has to be done there. If you spread filth in the room, well, you saw how he feels about it."
Brayden didn't answer. He dragged his chains over towards the back in search of the aforementioned holes. He cried as he pissed. Behind him, through the closed door, Mort started screaming. It was horrible, agonizing, and Brayden was forced to cup his hands over his ears. He sank to the floor, holding his head and sobbing, where he stayed until Mort's cries finally cut off and Brayden knew he was dead.
"You need to eat," Elwood told him.
He ignored him and just lay there. In his mind, he pictured his wife smiling and talking about how much fun the end-of-the-year party was going to be at her job.
"I'm sorry,"
he said like she could hear him.
"You need to eat now. If he's done with Mort, he'll be watching the cameras. If you don't eat, he's going to come back angry and pizza will be the least of your problems."
"Let him come,"
Brayden said, sounding as defeated as he felt. The way he saw it, whatever the soap man could do in his anger had to be better than going through this forever, having it dragged out over time just to end like Mort. He was going to die either way. What was the point in waiting?
"Another damn idiot," Elwood grumbled between bites of pizza. "You'll see."
Brayden continued to ignore him. He just lay there waiting for death. It felt like hours passed by listening to Elwood chomping and chewing, gulping soda and belching. He had no idea how much time actually passed. Single moments felt like ages. Somehow, he managed to fall asleep. He never would have imagined being able to sleep in a place like this. He dreamed of his wife. They were having a picnic in the park by the tree they had their first kiss beneath. She didn't just smile with her mouth, but also with her eyes.
"I missed you," he said before kissing her.
When the dream ended, Brayden opened his eyes and found himself outside of the room with Elwood. He was somewhere new. Everything was white. He tried to sit up and found he couldn't move.
"What's happening?" he cried out.
"Shh, be still now," the soap man said from somewhere Brayden couldn't see. "The fat you have is nowhere near enough for me. I have a business to run. If you don't want to eat, I will have to teach you."
"Teach me how? Just kill me."
The soap man laughed.
"Kill you?
I don't want to kill you. I need you. I have customers that expect the finest product from me. I do all this work for a reason. I have a reputation to uphold. So I need you to be a good boy and eat."
"Go to hell."
The soap man sighed. He came around to where Brayden could see him. "I'm going to hurt you now. You won't die. You'll just suffer. I will keep you healthy and return you to your room where you will eat, or I will hurt you again. Do you understand the rules?"
"To hell with your rules," Brayden told him. "You can hurt me every day if you want. I won't eat because I won't give you what you want. I'll die with the satisfaction knowing I starved and you have nothing to take from my corpse."
The soap man gave his magical smile.
"Oh, it may not be today, but you'll eat. They all break eventually. I've been doing this a long time, Brayden. Now, sit still."
Brayden squirmed and thrashed as the soap man walked out of his line of sight. He bucked even harder when he saw the man return with a pair of pliers.
"What are you doing? What are you gonna—"
"Shh."
The soap man proceeded to break his toes one by one like almonds in a nutcracker. Brayden screamed in agony. The pain was intense and he was shuddering against his restraints. He felt like he was going to pass out. The soap man leaned over by his face and said, "Next time I will cut off your earlobes. I will remove your testicles. I will break more bones. I will cauterize every cut and give you antibiotics to prevent infection. I will keep you alive so you can experience the agony. You can end it by eating. Sleep now." Braden awoke back in the room with Elwood, who was laying on the floor, one hand on his belly and pizza crumbs on his mouth.
"I tried to tell you," he said.
"But if I eat, he wins," Braden moaned with fresh tears. "This is the only power we have."
"Yeah, I'll pass. I choose one day of pain when it's time to die over 100 days of pain and a useless moral victory."
"I just can't."
"Then you will suffer like an idiot."
"What makes you so much smarter for doing things your way? It will end the same way for you as it does me. What is so smart about that?"
"Minimized suffering. No fake optimism. No pretend victories. Yes, it will end the same, and that's exactly the point. We're going to be soap, Braden. Soap. Soap that washes someone's dirty ass. I have a master's degree, and this is what it amounts to, for me to run down someone's ass crack into a shower drain."
"Not if you fight. Not if you resist."
"The guy before Mort, guy named Glenn, once he got big enough, tried to hide food in his rolls instead of eating it. But the soap man saw it because he sees everything. He's always watching. He took pieces from Glenn and made him eat them to replace the food he hid. He made us be the ones to force feed him his own body parts. That's what fighting and resisting gets. No, thank you." Braden just wept. He didn't know what else to do. It felt like there was no right answer.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
"How long have you been here?"
he asked Elwood after a while. "No idea. Lost track. It all blurs together eventually. You'll see."
"I don't want to see."
"Well, you will anyway.
Have you tried jumping him when he comes to deliver the food?"
"Not me, but I've seen others do it. I had to eat pieces of one of them. Another got sucked dry early, which left the soap man pissed off, and he abused the rest of us for several days straight. He hosed us down. He made us beat each other. He stuck toothpicks deep under our toenails and in other places I don't want to discuss."
"But did you fight at the same time? Not just one at a time, but all at once?"
"I don't know if you're just not listening or if you can't understand the things I'm telling you."
"I understand it just fine," Braden snapped. "I just can't accept it."
"Well, you've got no other choice."
"I'll make another choice."
"Glad to hear it. I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes."
"You're insufferable."
For once, Elwood didn't respond. A little later, the door opened again and the soap man rolled in a cart full of donuts and ice cream.
"I hope you'll grow to love this part as much as Mortimer did," he said with his classic smile. Braden cursed him. He lunged at the cart and knocked it over. The boxes opened and donuts were rolling all over the floor. "Now that wasn't very nice. Elwood still needs to eat these donuts and now they've been all over the floor."
"That's his choice."
"It's cute that you still think there's a choice." That damned smile again. Elwood glared at Braden. Then he crawled on his stomach across the floor and started shoving the donuts in his mouth.
"Too cakey. Texture is all wrong," he said with a mouthful of food.
"I'll be sure to let her know," the soap man said, smiling again. Then he turned to Braden. One of the donuts you so rudely knocked over fell into one of the dung holes in the back of the room, rolled right in there.
"Good,"
Braden said like a defiant child.
"Is it? Because I'm gonna need you to retrieve that and eat it."
Not a chance.
Now, Braden, I wasn't asking you. Go get the donut from your potty.
You're insane.
That is neither here nor there. The donut, now.
I'm not doing that.
The soap man sighed. All right, then. He stepped forward. Braden braced himself for a fight. What he got was the soap man pulling an aerosol can from behind his back and spraying Braden in the face with it. Anger boiled over in him and he went to rage, but instead collapsed to the floor. When he woke up, his shackles were shorter, much shorter, and pulled tightly enough to hurt. Elwood was kneeling before him, looking sad, and holding a donut dripping excrement.
You don't have to do this, Braden said. Fight, please.
Feed him the donut, the soap man said. Feed it to him or I'll feed it to you. Elwood looked at the donut and he frowned.
I'm sorry, he said.
He took the donut and pushed it into Braden's mouth. He smelled the urine and feces before he tasted it. It was already enough to make him gag. When it forced its way into his mouth, he knew there was no way he wasn't going to vomit.
Don't let him throw it up, the soap man commanded. Make sure he swallows it and keeps it down or you will eat his vomit.
Elwood clambered over and used both hands to clamp Braden's mouth shut. Braden tried to yell, but it came out as unintelligible muffles. Elwood rubbed his throat. Finally, he let Braden open his mouth. He coughed and gagged and stared angrily at Elwood through his tears.
As a critic, I've had to choke on a lot of bad food that made me want to retch. I know how you feel.
Screw you. You don't know a damn thing, Braden said.
Shh. Relax now. You've met your punishment. It's over, said the soap man soothingly. Now you can be calm and enjoy your ice cream.
I don't want any ice cream, Braden screamed. I want to go home.
Home isn't an option. Ice cream is.
Please just eat it, Elwood begged.
He looked truly remorseful. If you don't eat it, I will take your earlobes, the soap man said. How important are they to you?
Take them, Braden said. I don't care. I'm going to make sure you don't make any money off of me.
The soap man sighed. Oh, I'll make my money, but it seems you need further coaxing so we can get there.
So be it.
Braden was sprayed again from the strange aerosol. He swayed back and forth and then hung forward from his chains, unconscious. When he came to, he was back on the table in the other room.
No! Let me go! Let me out of here! He cried.
The only response he received was the soap man's patented smile. Quiet now, he said in a soothing tone. This could be the last time you get hurt when you go back and start eating.
That's it. That sounds good, doesn't it? No more pain after this.
He took a barber's straight razor and sliced off a huge chunk of Braden's ear. Braden whimpered but said,
Go to hell.
The soap man simply smiled and force-fed him his own ear. Braden tried to fight, but the man massaged his throat and made it go down. Now for the other one, he said. I really hope for your sake that tomorrow you start eating. He went to slice off the other ear and a chime sounded. The soap man paused with a, Braden was just watching him, his heart pounding.
Stay here, don't move.
Braden almost laughed.
Like I have a choice, he said quietly.
He didn't know where his captor went or how long he'd be gone. His restraints were tight, too tight. He could hear the soap man talking in the other room, but he couldn't make out the words. He listened for a moment and heard laughing. Was that a customer? Did the soap man run his business out of the same place he stuffed and tortured people? He started screaming and thrashing, hoping the woman would hear.
Help! Please, I have a wife. I need to get out of here. Please.
He heard a door he couldn't see opening and the sound of footsteps. Then the door closed. Braden didn't care if some of those footsteps belonged to the soap man. He had to take his chance. He had to alert help while it was there. He didn't care if he got tortured for it. He thrashed about and squirmed beneath his straps.
"He's got all us captive. He's killing people. Please, help me. Call the police, please."
The footsteps and voice drew closer. "Who's this one?" the woman asked, stopping beside the table Braden was attached to. "Another screamer, it seems. It's adorable that he thinks I will save him from his fate." Braden looked at the woman in horror. She was exquisitely well-dressed, and he immediately imagined her pulling up outside in a limo with the door being opened for her by a personal servant. She was not someone that would ever look upon him with anything other than disdain and disgust, even if they weren't in the insane situation, and he knew that. He just glared at her, and she met his anger with a smile.
"Will he be in the new batch?" she asked.
"Not likely," the soap man told her. "He's got a long way to go still before he's ready to be used, but it's okay because I got enough out of Mort to make an entire batch." Braden felt like he was going to throw up listening to them, but he bit it back. If it came out when he was on his back staring at the ceiling, he would choke on it and possibly die.
"She knows. Do they all know? Are all of his customers aware that he gets the ingredients from human beings? That he keeps them prisoner and tortures them? Do they all know? You want the rosemary and firewood, correct?"
"I was considering the lavender honey this time," the woman said. She looked at Braden and smirked.
"Oh, look at this, darling. He is so taken aback that I would knowingly buy soap that was made from human fat."
"Well, my dear, that's why I buy it. I want to have the best, the things other people can't have. When I have my shower given to me, I want to know that people died for it. I want the people washing me to know that. I want to be bathed in their tears. Besides, the soap really is delightful. It's so creamy. You would enjoy it yourself if it was something you could ever afford." Braden stared at this strange woman with hatred burning in his gaze as she bellowed deep, hearty laughs at his plight. He felt the fight drain out of him and suddenly felt like he understood Elwood. The woman wasn't going to save him. No one that came into this building was going to save them. No one that knew where he was would ever care that his wife was at home worried sick and missing him. There would only be this until it came to be his time to die. He stopped thrashing, stopped begging, and just laid still, crying silently. When the woman left, the soap man said, "All right, I think that's enough for today." And he sprayed whatever that strange foul-smelling gas was into Braden's face. Braden awoke back in the other room with Elwood.
"Did you know that they know? The people that buy the soap? They know where it comes from? They know what he does to us? They know, and they don't care."
"Of course I knew," Elwood said with a scoff. "I'm not an idiot. He spends tons of money to feed us all this fattening garbage. He wouldn't do that if he wasn't getting top dollar, and no one would pay top dollar for a bar of soap if they didn't know it was something special."
"I guess you're right," Braden said solemnly. He didn't even mind being called an idiot this time. He felt like Elwood was probably right, and he was one. He thought there was one monster, one dragon to slay, and then he would be free to live again, but that was for fairy tales. The truth was far worse than that. There was one person in the building that wasn't a monster, and everyone else was.
The next morning, when the soap man came with his wagon of atrocious food, Braden silently partook in consuming it. He just sat there on the floor with a pizza box between his legs, stuffing slice after slice into his greasy mouth as Elwood sat across from him doing very much the same thing. They didn't talk. There was nothing to say. They just sat there and ate and ate and ate until the food and drink were gone.
Then they both lay down and stared at the door, where they remained in silence until it opened again. When it did, the soap man came in wearing a green sweater with a collared shirt beneath it, glasses, and a smile.
"I'm glad you came around, Braden, and finally started to understand the way things go around here. I'm aware that it can take time to adjust."
Braden glanced over at Elwood, who met his gaze. Neither of them had anything to say. The soap man seemed pleased by this. His smile widened and he nodded at them.
"It's good to see you eating," he said jovially. "I saved this special dish just for this occasion. I didn't want to waste it on a day where you were being defiant and weren't going to partake in the delicacies. Now that you're on board with the way things work around here, it is the perfect time to share the exquisite dessert with you. And do you know, I expect you to eat every bit of it. But chew well, because it's a bit tough and stringy. You'll see."
Braden watched him exit and waited patiently for the man to return. Whatever it was that he was retrieving, Braden knew there was no way out of it. The soap man would just torture him and save it for another day, probably 100 times over, until he was broken like a horse and willing to do as his rider commanded. When the door reopened, Braden watched with curiosity as his captor wheeled a dolly into the room with something strapped to it with bungee cords. When he turned in a circle and brought the dolly around to face them, Braden almost vomited instantly. He threw a fist to his mouth. Elwood, as numb as he was, just looked on with a knowing disinterest. Mort was strapped to the dolly, or what had once been Mort was, anyway. All the fat had been vacuumed out of him, but all the stretched skin had developed during his weight gain was still there, and it hung through the bungee cords like a series of flesh-colored deflated balloons. A now barely recognizable gaunt face hung there at the top, staring at them. The soap man unhooked the cords one at a time, and piles of empty Mort spilled out. Like he was made of slime, he slid from the dolly onto the floor before them.
"I already took most of the big bones out," the soap man said. "But you should be careful anyway, because there are lots of little bones hiding away in there, and the last thing I need is one of you choking."
Braden's mind started thinking about escape again, his hope rejuvenated. He considered finding those bones, hiding them, and sharpening them. If he couldn't kill the soap man, he could at least end himself before becoming soap. As if he read Braden's mind, the soap man said,
"If you try to keep any bones, you will pay with pain. I see everything you do. You have no secrets from me. It is important you remember that."
Elwood just grunted. And just like that, Braden's hope deflated like Mort's boneless, fatless body.
"Do we get dessert?" he asked numbly. "Only if you're good boys and eat every last bite of your dinner," the soap man said.
He smiled and left. Braden watched the door shut. He stared at the fleshy, gelatinous puddle that used to be Mort, and while he was watching, Elwood dragged himself like a slug across the floor until he was laying beside it. Braden watched him dig in, tearing at the elastic-like flesh of Mort's corpse. Suddenly, all Braden could do was feel sympathy for the next person, the one that would have to sit here and eat whatever was left of him, their soul tainted and their heart and spirit broken. With that thought in mind, he tugged his chains along until he was before the Mort pudding. With tears running down his face, he bent over and took his first bite of human flesh. He was fully intent on finishing it and making sure every bite was gone. That ice cream was starting to sound really good. It was the little things. It was all they had left. He had to enjoy what he could, and in that moment, as he chewed on Mort's deflated chest, he realized that he understood the man he was eating. Mort now made perfect sense to him.
"I get it," he said as he took another bite.
"Idiot," said Elwood with a grunt. As the two of them worked on their dinner, the aromas of fresh, clean soap wafted in from the crack below the door. Jasmine, Braden thought it was, like some kind of tea. He smelled vanilla, too. Maybe carob. Mort was now becoming a bar of fresh vanilla jasmine tea with carob seeds. It was actually a beautiful combination. It smelled quite good, Braden thought as he chewed on a stringy lump of skin. Mort would like that. I hope he can smell it wherever he is. He deserves that. I wonder what he'll use for me. I wonder if he takes requests. Braden smiled, some Mort hanging from between his teeth. I think something with rose oil would be nice, he mumbled. Yes, when he comes to bring my ice cream, I will ask him to make me into something with rose oil. As he chewed ravenously beside him, Elwood grunted. Braden took that to mean he agreed. Rose oil it is. His wife always loved rose oil, he thought, as he took another big bite of his meal. I hope you enjoyed The Soap Man, as written by Keisto Healy and performed by Paul J. McSorley. Author of twisted horror tales as well as innovative science fiction and epic fantasy stories, Keisto Healy is a genre author with an unstoppable imagination who tries to write at least one story or chapter every single day. It's his biggest passion. Find this and more tales over on his website, KeistoHealy.blogspot.com. On to the shows. Longtime resident Otis Gyrie has his very own show here on our network, Scary Stories Told in the Dark, which you can hear every Sunday night. We also have Eric Peabody's Horror Hill, a podcast dedicated to some of our deeper and darker tales. We hope you check him out. And Drew Blood's Dark Tales airs Fridays, featuring some Southern down-home horror. And don't forget to check out the Fear from the Heartland archives, featuring more than 120 episodes. Well, friends, our weekly descent into the depths has just about come to a close. But before we go, I'd like to take a moment to thank you for joining us tonight and remind you to take a moment to stop by our iTunes page and leave Chilling Tales for Dark Nights a 5-star review and a kind word. And follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram if you haven't already. And of course, subscribe to us on YouTube, where you can find an archive of our work going back to 2012. And consider signing up as a patron at our website, chillingtalesfordarknights.com, to show your support and get all of our content ad-free. I'm your host of the evening, Paul J. McSorley, and it's been a pleasure. Tune in again next week when we once again turn off the lights and turn on the dark. Sweet dreams, listener. Sweet dreams.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.